Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavasa, and for today, we are looking at a startup that's looking to fix what's going on in the world of, refuse collection, trash, etc., and that is Kudoti. Usually, every once in a while, you hear of an interesting business, and you just want to see what's actually going on, and a lot of the time you don't normally hear of entrepreneurs, at least in the tech startup space, touching on things like trash and refuse collection. So very interested to see what's actually going on that front. So for today, we are joined by Matthew Digodoma, who is one of the founders, if I understand correctly, of Kudoti, and we're going to be having that discussion, that chat. Matthew, greetings to you today.
Hi, yeah, thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
A good place for us to start. We always want to understand, the businesses that we are talking to. What are they about? What is the mission? And, especially in the startup space, why you've decided that this is the problem or the issue that you want to tackle.
Yeah, so, our mission at Kudoti, simply put, is to enable the circular economy through technology. And specifically, what our company does is we match recyclable materials with offtake opportunities. So how that looks like in practice is we work with businesses, with waste collectors, even sometimes with households. We actually track how much waste materials they're collecting, what types of materials they are. And then we then use our platform to then link those materials and those that waste material back to an offtake opportunity, which could be a recycler. It can also be a waste to energy opportunity. Essentially, we look to identify in each given circumstance what is the best offtake opportunity for a specific type of material, considering the cost, the location, and really at the end of the day, our goal is to actually give value to waste so that we can further incentivize behavior of sorting, collecting, and recycling of waste. So that's kind of in a nutshell what we do at Kudoti. The reason why we are tackling this problem in this way is, our team has been looking at this problem for quite some time. It's been more than 2 years now that we've been working on this problem, though it's we've been operating for a lot less than that. But for about 2 years, we've been kind of looking into, what are the problems that stand essentially in front of a more circular economy and more recycling. And what we found, to summarize, is really that it's essentially a problem of supply chains, in the sense that we have supply chains today to bring products to consumers that are very efficient, but we do not have the supply chains to bring those products back once they've been used, either to recycle them or to actually get them reused or repurposed in some way. So really what we're looking at is how can we enable these reverse supply chains so that we can actually complete, close the loop on that circular economy concept that I think is quite well known, in terms of us having to improve recycling and waste management.
So when it comes to all of that, can I then confirm that you guys are working directly with households, trying to take on their specific materials to either sell on or to send to people that are going to recycle this type of material?
Yeah, so the vast majority of our users are businesses. We're mainly a B2B startup, so we work with manufacturers, with any kind of waste producer. It could be an office building. We also work with actually, the collectors themselves, so waste collectors. We have work with kind of a range of waste collectors that go from very informal to very formal. So really our focus is more B2B. We do have some occasions where we work with households, though that's not yet a major focus for us. And I think for us, the whole household or business to consumer segment is something that we will try and tackle at a later stage, given that it requires quite a lot of adaptation of our technology and a different approach, essentially, to incentivize behavior at the household level. So, yeah, really focuses B2B at this stage, with kind of B2C coming at the later stage.
So from that point of view, then, when it comes to the business itself, when did you guys actually start and what was, because I do understand the problem that is being tackled and the way that you guys are doing it, but what was the actual impetus in the beginning? What made you guys decide that this is what you wanted to do, and when did you guys actually start?
Right. So as co-founders, we're three co-founders, myself, my other co-founder, Gifu Bele, and Prasenjit Sinha, we all met in 2019. And the reason that we actually met each other is we had separately, individually started to look at the problem of waste and recycling, in our own capacity. So kind of each of us had made some inroads, some research, and we're trying to work in the space. And through that work, through that engagement, we actually got to know each other, got to meet each other, and very quickly came to realize that our objective, in a broad sense, our objectives were the same, and that it would make sense to actually join forces and work together. And that at that point, that's when we started Kudoti, kind of as an entity in 2019. We only really began operations in mid 2020. So from mid 2019 to mid 2020. We were all kind of involved in other things as well, kind of in working on Kudoti mostly part-time. And then in 2020, really having gathered kind of a lot of the evidence, having done a lot of the research on the ground, speaking to experts, speaking to waste stakeholders, it became clear to us that the opportunity was there. And I think one of the strongest signals for that was that everybody recognized the problem, but there were almost no solutions on offer. So for us, that was really interesting in that we saw that there were a lot of opportunities and a lot of factors that made this a very interesting market to enter. And I think one of the kind of key points that I think continues to drive us forward is that today we're seeing in the waste market, in the recycling market, that there is a huge demand for the material itself. That is to say, recyclers, manufacturers, they have a huge demand for materials. The problem is that the supply isn't there to meet the demand. And so really for us, that is a massive opportunity. And that is really the core of what we're trying to tackle, is to better match the supply, which happens to be there. It's just that it's not connected, or it's not aggregated in any efficient way to the significant and growing demand for recycled materials. And as an outlook to our business, we're seeing that actually the demand will continue to grow for a number of reasons. One being government regulation that is forcing companies to integrate recycled materials in their products. A second factor is the companies themselves, the large FMCG brands, including Nestle, who we engage with on this prize, they're looking to actually integrate more and more recycled materials in their products. So they're also driving the demand from that side. And lastly, consumers as well are pushing in that same direction. So really, we anticipate that the demand for recycled materials is going to grow, while the challenges for the supply haven't really been solved yet. So again, that's really, where we're looking to come in and use technology to try and reduce some of the huge complexity that's involved in building these reverse supply chains and actually connecting waste supply to the waste demand in an efficient way.
Matthew, maybe you can help us to either quantify or to sort of relate how big the supply and demand type of factors are. Because in you talking, I'm sort of getting the sense, because you said just now that there is demand that you guys are seeing, but usually what stops people from being able to do some of this, effective type of recycling, or at least matching up materials with those that want it, is the complexity. So maybe you can help us to understand, I guess the volumes, of material that you guys, are getting from one point to another, or, the type of gaps, the type of demand that's there for specific, is it plastics, is it whatever types of things that you guys are working on?
Yeah, right. So I guess I'll start from a relatively broad base and say that today only 10% of the demand for recycled materials is met. That's to say that 90% of the demand isn't met by the current supply. And there are a number of factors that go into that. One, as you mentioned, is the complexity. Certainly, there's also a question of quality and, you know, actually, how can you measure and track quality throughout a supply chain when you're dealing with thousands and hundreds of thousands of entities within these supply chains? So the complexity is hindering this. And I think, again, you know, we as a technology company, we see that we can simplify or reduce that complexity through technology. And you know, look at meeting that 90% of the unmet demands that exist today. In terms of the materials themselves, it's for quite a wide range of materials. I'd say, you know, certainly plastics is at the forefront of the demand. There's a huge and growing demand for plastic materials, particularly your PET plastics. So that's if you think about a Coca-Cola bottle or a Sprite bottle or a beverage bottle, that tends to be PET plastic, and there's a huge demand for that plastic, especially since now companies are committing to making those bottles from recycled materials. But the demand is also there for paper, for cardboard. These are all products that can be recycled, that we have the capacity to recycle them. And then, you know, we as Guidotti, we deal with all those products. We also deal with metals. Metals is a slightly different beast in the sense that metals are highly recyclable and have already, you know, been recycled to quite a high level to this day, including in South Africa, but also on a global level. But certainly demand is there for metals. And we're also starting to see that, you know, new types of materials are coming or in demand. One of them is electronic waste, where, you know, electronic waste is not only highly toxic to the environment if not treated properly, but it can be also highly valuable in the sense that there are very valuable components within electronic within gadgets and electronic devices, such as rare metals and even, you know, the plastic that's used there as well as recyclable. So demand in e-waste. And then lastly, one interesting area for us is organic waste, where suddenly there's a recognition that organic waste is hugely problematic when it goes to landfill, and it can also be a very highly useful feedstock in waste to energy processes or even kind of fertilizer production. So that's also something that we're seeing. We are slowly looking at that organic space, given that it is quite separate from the other streams, but that's something that's of interest to us. And in terms of what we do today, so, you know, we started kind of tracking volumes of waste, let's say earlier this year. That's kind of really when we launched our platform in February. And since February, we've been seeing between 250 tons to 500 tons per month of materials going through our platform. And that's growing, you know, that's growing week on week as we're acquiring new clients and new partners.
So when it comes to all of that, because it really does sound as if there's, a lot of demand for the different types of materials. You mentioned the plastics, you mentioned the metals, and then, you know, now getting into some of the more organic matter that you highlighted just now. So from that point of view, in the value chain or in that supply chain of matching up, you know, let's say businesses that are getting rid of certain types of materials versus businesses that want to get their hands on specific types of recycled materials, are you guys handling anything in the background? Who's handling the logistics? Are you guys touching any of the materials between point A and point B? Do you provide the transport, or do you sort of just, you know, get one party in touch with the other party?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we at Guidotti, we're purely a digital platform. We made that decision quite early on in the company. So we work entirely with third parties. So we match the sellers and the buyers, or the kind of producers and off-takers of waste. We also work with logistics. Most times we were working with existing capacities within our clients who have logistics assets, and we're just helping them, you know, utilize their assets in kind of transporting the waste. And we're now actually just starting to to schedule, kind of work with logistics providers ourselves and actually integrate that into our system to actually facilitate the transportation of waste from one place to the other. And this is actually quite a big problem today. I think it, for our company and within the recycling ecosystem at large, is the fact that logistics, is probably the highest, it is the highest cost when looking at recycling waste management. And it's actually lacking in a lot of areas. So it's a crucial part of what we do and of the recycling industry as a whole. So we're now looking ourselves, again, using technology, we're looking at facilitating logistics by bringing in third-party logistics providers. There's obviously quite a big opportunity to optimize that, across hundreds and thousands of entities, and that could try and optimize the logistics to reduce the cost and actually increase the availability of logistics capacity.
If I'm now thinking about how you guys are working, you're a digital platform, not necessarily touching the materials, in the middle, because you guys have decided that you're not getting involved in that bit of the business. How do you guys actually make money? What's the business model?
Right. So we have two revenue streams within our company. The primary revenue stream for us is actually we make money from the material that is traded through our platform. So we take a transaction fee. Once we match a seller and a buyer of materials and that transaction happens, we take a percentage of that transaction as our fee for enabling the transaction. So that's a primary business model. We also work directly with companies, with corporates to help them, on an individual basis, improve how they're managing their waste, whether it's the waste that they produce or waste that they need to actually make new products. We work directly with corporates using our technology to help them track and analyze all their waste activity within the company, and actually then help them improve the performance when it comes to circular economy and recycling by not only understanding where they can reduce their waste, but also by linking them with some of the third parties that we work with to actually, get materials recycled that are being, and actually vice versa, if it's a manufacturer, for example, to help them source waste that they can use in their manufacturing processes. And that's a separate revenue stream.
Okay, cool. I think that makes sense. One of the curiosities I'm having as you're talking, as you've described how the business works, the platform, and I guess the demand on the one side for recycled materials versus the supply of, some of these materials, is how receptive have people been to your business since you guys officially launched earlier this year? Because on the one hand, it is a revenue opportunity, because in a lot of cases, some of these companies, some of these businesses would have thrown some of these materials out, right? Yeah, without even any thought. But now you sort of provide a market of sorts where, instead of just throwing something out, you can actually say to a company, you're about to trash this thing, but you can actually sell it because, XYZ business over there is looking for these materials that you're about to throw away. So from that point of view, how receptive have businesses been actually when it comes to that, you are going, the revenue opportunity versus the possible admin that comes with actually recycling that material? What have you seen on the ground?
Yeah, it's definitely been very interesting for us. And I think when speaking to businesses, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. In multiple senses. I think certainly most businesses today are already quite aware and conscious of the need for them to be more sustainable, and recycling is a big component of that. And so today, all businesses and corporates are trending towards being more sustainable and are looking for solutions to help them to do that. I think that includes one of the key kind of feedback we got on this was certainly from Nestle as well, where they brought us in to talk up through the CSV prize, to help them tackle this problem, given that it was certainly a challenge and they're looking at external innovators that will help them solve that problem. And I think that response and that interest is true across most companies that we speak to. I think it's been interesting to note that, you know, change is slow and certainly change has been slow when it comes to some companies in terms of how they perceive waste, how they perceive the opportunity for recycling. And so, you know, part of our work is to facilitate that change, enable that behavior change that can actually lead to more sustainable behaviors and more recycling. Certainly when we bring in the financial component of what we do, that is, as you mentioned, you know, how we can essentially turn waste from a cost to an opportunity by, you know, helping companies to actually sell materials that are in demand, that becomes very interesting. And certainly, you know, companies are very keen to engage in that kind of model. I mean, we still face some challenges in that sense. I mean, you know, for us, for what we do to work, waste needs to be separated and there needs to be kind of already some knowledge from the people that we work with in terms of how to properly separate materials. Quality is key when it comes to recycling. And, you know, there's certainly a quality control issue that we have to manage. Second to that, you know, we work a lot directly with the collectors, the waste collectors, including some of the informal collectors, you know, the guys that you see in the street with the trolleys. We work with them as well to work with them to facilitate what they do and apply the same principle of connecting what, you know, the waste that they collect with the right off-taker. And when it comes to working with the recyclers, the waste management companies, there is also that change management that needs to happen, but we have to manage, you know, that technology literacy in some of the companies that we work with, particularly in the smaller, you know, SME type waste collectors that you find a lot in South Africa. We have to manage, you know, their understanding of technology. But again, when it comes to the proposition, the value proposition that we have, you know, they are very receptive. It's just that we have to then manage a few factors, you know, behind that to actually start working with companies and enabling, you know, their activity and actually integrating them into our platform.
Against that backdrop of the type of changes that need to happen inside organizations that are trending towards sustainability, and also at the same time recognizing the fact that some businesses aren't at that stage where they even see a need for such things, are you able to share how many clients you guys, you know, have, or how much traction you guys have been able to gain since starting out?
Yeah. Okay. So in South Africa, currently, we're working with close to 300 companies. So those companies are spread across actual waste companies. So, you know, waste management and waste collection companies, as well as waste producers and waste manufacturers. If you think about what we do, we're essentially a network, an ecosystem where there are multiple layers to that ecosystem, starting from the producer, which a producer might be a business, a household, an industrial company, all the way up to the manufacturer and the brands that actually produce the products. So we operate across all those layers. You know, typically, if you think about the waste, the recycling value chain, there's probably five or six layers of companies that are taking waste in, processing it in some way, and then selling it on. We work across all those layers. We think of ourselves as an end-to-end solution where we want to go from the producer all the way back up to, you know, the manufacturer, and actually traceably and verifiably shifting or helping the flow of waste from when it is waste back up into when it becomes a raw material for production. So within that, you know, those layers, we have 300 companies in South Africa. We've actually launched a project in Zambia as well recently, and we're in the process of working in India with new partners there as well. So those are more kind of individualized projects where we are acting as a technology partner and not so much an operational partner as we are in South Africa.
Okay, that makes sense. And I understand that, for those listening, Matthew is joining us from France. So are there any chances to go into any plans to go into France?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think fundamentally, we, and this is what's very exciting for us, is that what we do, I think, is can be implemented anywhere in the world. You know, right now we have a slightly more focus on less developed economies. So kind of looking more at the African continent and parts of Southeast Asia. But fundamentally, what we do and the technology that we're building can be implemented anywhere in the world because the processes are the same and the needs are the same. And I think, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned France. I am half French and currently in France at the moment. You know, South Africa actually recycles a lot more of certain materials than France or than the wider European Union does for a variety of reasons, which we could go into. But for now, let's just say that South Africa recycles more than Europe. So, you know, the opportunity to actually increase the recycling rates in a place like France is there. And the concept remains the same. You know, they're producers of waste and they're off-takers of waste, and the two need to be connected. And so certainly, you know, it's not in our short-term goals or plans, but, you know, in the medium to long term, we'll be looking at, you know, going into some of these more developed markets. In France, the United States is also an interesting market for us. Certainly that opportunity is there. It's just that, you know, we need to get to a point where we can actually manage launch operations in some of these markets.
Tied to the issue of geographic expansion is, funding that type of geographic expansion. So when it comes to a funding point of view, have you guys been able to raise, any external funding? And also, how have you guys been funding your operations?
Right. So we haven't actually done any fundraising yet. We have yet to kind of start that process. But we are currently looking into launching our investment roadshow later this year or by the end of this year to actually raise a seed round. We're currently looking at a seed round raise. But up until this point, we've essentially been self-funded at the very beginning. We've been fortunate to win some grants from different sources, mainly prize money and competitions. And we've also been funded with our own revenues as well. Winning the Nestlé CSV prize is certainly part of that. And you know, the cash money that we're the cash prize that we're lucky to get through the Nestlé CSV prize is also going to boost us, you know, in terms of helping us to invest, helping us to acquire new capacities and actually start to look at going into new markets.
I like the fact that you have brought up that Nestlé CSV prize because earlier on you mentioned your other two founders and you mentioned Gift. I've actually met Gift before and it was at an event that was being run by Africa Arena. Africa Arena has been a guest on the Business Day Spotlight in the past. So I'm just curious to maybe understand how much of your lives are sort of spent in those circles, sort of evangelizing about the business, trying to drum up interest, you know, going to pitching competitions or going to, you know, forums like Africa Arena, entering, you know, prizes like the Nestlé CSV. How much of your lives as entrepreneurs are sort of spent doing those types of activities?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I'd say that a significant part of our lives, and particularly my life as CEO, is spent, like you say, evangelizing, trying to get the name of Kudoti out there, and taking part in competitions. And you know, I think the interesting part of that is, when we win a competition, it's amazing. And when we are even finalists of a competition, as we have been a few times, and in the case of the Nestlé Prize as well, it's been amazing. But it does become a challenge from the perspective of an entrepreneur, when the amount of times when you don't win, and having to manage your time, you know, and spending your time on applying to competitions versus actually, you know, spending time on the business. And it's something that I do ask myself quite a lot. You know, it's kind of, what is the right balance? Because certainly, it's two different activities, and you know, there is a need to do both at the same time. And we are a small team. So, you know, we have to manage our times in the most effective way possible. So, you know, I'd say that, I mean, for me, it's, you know, sometimes up to 30%, 40% of my time is spent on a given week, spent on applying to grants, competitions, different prizes. And it has been extremely worthwhile for us. I mean, we have been able to fund ourselves through these competitions. But, you know, I mean, for me, I love being an operator and actually, you know, building out the business. And so I in an ideal world, I would be more involved in that and have more time to do that. But I think at this stage, you know, it's a necessity for us to be part of it, to take part of these competitions and try and push, you know, the brand as well to the broader market.
Now we, you know, this, I guess, evangelizing, because there's a book by Grant Cardone, you know, called The 10X Rule. And he highlights the fact that, you know, for a lot of individuals and businesses, one of the biggest issues that people face that hinders them from progress a lot of the time is, you know, the problem of obscurity. You really, you know, as an individual, career professional, or business person, need to do a lot to get the name of your business or your operation, your brand, you know, out there. So, you know, anything to that effect is always a good thing. So on the last point, Matthew, can you give us your roadmap? Because I'm sure as CEO, you have a vision. And as one of the founders, you guys probably have a vision just around what you want to see happening when you guys are sort of at the half year mark now in terms of having launched, but around 2 years, you know, since inception. So, you know, what does the next maybe 2 to 3 years looks like?
For us, you know, the next 3 to 5 years will be spent growing the business, acquiring new clients. And I think a focus for us is to start consolidating, you know, our presence outside of South Africa in new markets. We see a very strong need for what we do in other markets. At the same time, we have to balance that with, you know, consolidating our presence in South Africa as well. And I think, you know, we certainly have a, from a technology perspective, you know, a very ambitious roadmap that we're looking to implement. You know, we're very much at the beginning of, you know, our technology journey in terms of the platform that we've built. And, you know, there's, you know, I mentioned complexity earlier in this conversation. Well, you know, for us, we're seeing a big opportunity to kind of, deploy more advanced technologies such as, you know, machine learning, where we can actually leverage all the data that we're collecting to improve our matchmaking between buyers and sellers or off-takers and producers. And that's a big kind of, you know, big area of work for us. But I think, you know, from a more general perspective, you know, what we're looking to achieve is to essentially become a go-to entity when it comes to understanding, you know, how to benefit from the opportunities of the circular economy, whether it's for a business, a waste company, or, you know, even a large corporate, or even beyond that, you know, a government entity. We think that, you know, we have knowledge and even the technology at this stage to really greatly facilitate the entrance to the circular economy for companies that either haven't done so yet or that are struggling to do so. And so, you know, we want to really greatly facilitate and reduce the complexity of actually taking part in circular economy activity, namely, you know, recycling and even reuse of products by leveraging technology to actually, you know, better track those opportunities and actually better implement them within a company or even across an network or entity or a network of entities or of stakeholders. So, you know, that's key to our mission, is to really grow a presence to become that go-to place. You know, that also includes expanding who we work with. So we had mentioned households before. That is on our roadmap, and there is something that needs to be done as well at the household level. Because if you think about the supply chain of waste, the producers, so the households, are part of that supply chain. And they need to be integrated into that supply chain if it is going to be effective. So that's certainly something that we are looking into, you know, in the medium term, to see how we can further add value in that space. And I think lastly, you know, we were already work with quite a large number of materials. We're now entering, through some partnerships that we're developing, entering into the more industrial space. So actually, rather than working with recyclables, which would, well, you know, the paper, plastic, metals products that we discussed, you know, actually going into more complex materials, from industrial processes, that also need to be recycled or processed. And that's something that we're now also looking into. And applying our platform into those environments.
So that's been us with Matthew De Godema, who is one of the founders and CEO of Kudoti, and he was telling us about you know, their business, which is a platform which is helping companies to be able to recycle their materials. They provide a platform, you know, where they can meet people that are looking to recycle their materials with those that are looking to buy up recycled materials. And he's actually saying that in the market, only about 10% of the actual demand for recycled materials is actually being met, you know, at current standards. And they're looking to, you know, add their part to, you know, add their bit into the mix. And so far, about 300, you know, businesses have signed up with them, and they are growing. Though he does mention the fact that despite that response, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Though a lot of companies are sort of leaning towards issues of sustainability, there still needs to be a lot more change management done in other companies to take all of these things forward. Also, ending off, just giving us a little bit of a roadmap just around where they want to go over the next 3 to 5 years, you know, possibly getting into households and other markets like that, and also that geographic expansion. They are in South Africa, recently launched something in Zambia, but also doing some work as a technology partner in places like India. He's saying for now, you know, they aren't externally funded, but they are looking to, you know, drum up more and more support, and mentioning things like the Nestle CSV Award, you know, as part of all of those efforts to try and evangelize the business. So, Matthew, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed this discussion.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
When we think about waste management, recycling, refuse collection, all of these issues, you never really think about them from a technology point of view. But when you look at, you know, the global market and all the demand, you know, that's out there, it really does seem like it is a big issue that does need to be solved. So it's good to see the likes of Kudoti doing what they can to actually solve that issue, or to at least help, you know, those companies that are looking for recycled materials, actually creating that market and actually giving an extra sort of revenue opportunity to businesses that would otherwise have thrown out certain types of materials. So very positive from that point of view. It will be interesting to see how they grow in future. What I'm interested to see from a business model point of view, because at the moment they are simply a platform and they aren't involved in the logistics part of the business. And Matthew did acknowledge the fact that logistics are the biggest expense in the value chain. So one would wonder if maybe that's an issue that they can directly take on. Maybe that could be an added on, you know, benefit or service that they could take on as a business. But I guess it just depends on, you know, where they want to go and how they see their role in the system. Because if you find yourself as being a technology platform, you take out a lot of risk, but I do think that there might be a little bit of of an opportunity that they can get, either they themselves providing the logistics or maybe bringing on a logistics partner that they can offer for those companies that don't have those capabilities or don't want to spend too much on that, have those deals in place. Obviously, it has to make sense, and you know, it has to be city specific. There's a lot of geographical concerns, you know, what's the distance, where do you go, which city are you in, etc. But you know, maybe fixing that bit might be one of those things that actually gets more people to be interested in, because there is a revenue opportunity. But I do suspect that a lot of businesses look at the logistics of actually fulfilling these things and actually decide that it's not worth it to pursue that particular opportunity. But as people, you know, do more around sustainability, there will be more interest in some of these things. So it'll be good to see how the space does evolve and how Kudoti themselves are able to evolve their business in the coming years. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.